one of you. Again, we have visitors with us, and we're thankful that you're here. We hope that you'll come back and be with us time and time again. I appreciate Greg Mitchum being my family in your prayers. I'll tell you with no hesitation that I need your prayers, and I appreciate that very much. I appreciate all the good comments that I received regarding the lesson this morning. That was encouraging to me, and I hope that the lessons, whether it's on this topic or any other topic, is profitable to us. I know that I learned a great deal from putting lessons together and then to present them, I learn even more. And so I appreciate that very much. This evening I want us to look at, for just a little while, about the church's responsibilities to the elders and our obligation toward elders, in the hopes that one day that we'll again have elders. And when we do, I think it is profitable to us to realize some obligations that we have, some responsibilities that each and every one of us have. I was thinking, as our brother did a fantastic job in reading the scripture reading this morning, we appreciate Braden for that very much. I was thinking as he was reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, how many individuals was thinking, what does this have to do at all with the responsibilities of the individual members toward the elders? Well, it has a lot to do with that. It has a lot to do with it from the standpoint that the elders, like anyone else, are just members of a local congregation. I don't mean just in a belittling way, but from the standpoint that they are members of the congregation, just like you and like I am members of the local congregation. Sometimes I think that we look at the elders from a perspective that takes away from that. We somehow maybe view them as though they are not just regular members of the congregation. And the case is that they are. They have tasks, obviously, that not all the members have. But they are members just like you and me are members of the local church. The deacons are members just like you and I are members of this local congregation. The preacher is just like anyone else from the standpoint of he is a member just like anyone else. And he should be treated as such, needs to be afforded as such. The elders do, the deacons do, the preacher does. As treated as members of the local congregation, just like anyone else is. And oftentimes I think the case is that we don't appreciate the elders, the role of elders the way that we should. The role of deacons is not appreciated the way it is. You've heard this statement that is made from time to time. You don't know what you have till it's gone. Have you ever heard that? You don't know the value of work that is done until the work is no longer being done and then someone else has to pick it up and do it. And then you really begin to appreciate, well, I really appreciate so-and-so for doing the work that he was doing, or I appreciate the things that so-and-so were doing. I was thinking about the bulletins this morning. You know, Ruby and Sister Eula get here early on Sunday mornings to fold that bulletin. Now, the bulletin is put together, it's put on the back podium, but those two sisters come in early to sit here and to fold those bulletins. I wonder how many of us appreciate things as though we might look at it and say something as small as that. Well, you may not even think about that until you walk in and the bulletins are there unfolded. And then you begin to think, you know, I really appreciate the fact that they come in when they didn't have to, early, and sit down and fold those bulletins. Well, how many times do we take the time to say, I appreciate you folding those bulletins? I appreciate you taking the time to do that. Well, in a like manner, what about elders? Again, we understand we no longer have elders, but the time hopefully will come when we do, and when we do, will we take the time to appreciate the work that we looked at this morning that they'll be engaged in, to strengthen their hands and to lift them up and to encourage them in that work? Well, that's what this lesson this evening is about. We only have 7 points. I was telling someone earlier we have 3 slides this evening and had to do a double take. And that was Ethan, because usually he thinks if there's only a short PowerPoint, then Dad is sick. Well, that's not the case. I told someone else I can talk for a long time on 3 slides. But I want us to think about the focus this in on the church's responsibilities to the elders. It's important for us to think about that. Every single member of this church is vital to the overall functioning of this church. Every member. Every single person contributes to the overall function of this body. When one member suffers, what happens? All the members suffer with it. Now you think about that with our physical body. If I'm impaired with one particular member of my body or another, that hinders the overall functioning of the body. If my leg is not working right, if my arm is not working right, if my eyes are not working right, if my mind is not working the way that I would like for it to, you can see how that hinders, it dampens or hampers the overall functioning of our body. And so every member is important in the local church. The elders are, the deacons are, the members are. I asked you, I think, a couple of lessons ago to maybe make that note in your Bibles in Philippians chapter 1 and in verse 1 when you have really the local organization or the organization of the local church in one verse. The saints which are at Philippi, which are in Christ Jesus, with the bishops and the deacons. You have in one verse the local church, the organization. And so each one of those are important. One is not any more important than the other. All of them are. When you look around the room this evening, there's not one member that is of any more importance than the next member of the church. I think it's sad when I hear from time to time members express that they don't feel as important as others or feel as though their opinion would not count as, and it does. That saddens my heart because the members ought not feel that way. And I try to encourage along those lines because you are each one important. Let's think about the responsibilities, the obligations that the members have toward the elders, and see if we're on the same page with this. The first one I want you to think about is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And again, I hope you'll turn with me and that you'll look at these as we read these together and we think about these. I'm not going to make a lot of comments on each one of them. These are verses, as so many times, they just stand alone. They're self-explanatory. And you really have to have help to misunderstand them. But notice, if you will, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. I have underscored in my Bible the last sentence of verse 13, and be at peace among yourselves. That's preachable. That will lather. That makes a good sermon and a good study. We have a responsibility, just as I talked to you about this morning, that the elders have a responsibility to know the flock, to oversee and to feed the flock. The members have a responsibility to know them which labor among them and that are over them in the Lord, and those that admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. We have that obligation, that responsibility, the members do, to know the eldership. Take time to know them. I've known some elders and preachers who have a very good relationship, who have talked to me about the relationship that they have. The time that they take to spend with one another, that doesn't just go with the preacher, but ought to be that way with the members. To spend time together, to do things together. They don't have to, so necessarily, in all the ways in which this particular group does. But they spend the additional time, you know why? Because they said we love being with one another. They just love the company of one another. They just love to bounce things off one another, to be with one another. To have that conversation, to have that company, that companionship, that relationship with one another. And so we need to take time to know, not only the flock, to know one another, but we need to know those who are over us in the Lord. And what else did he say? To esteem them very highly in love. Now we could stop there and say a lot about that. Yes, the Bible requires that we love one another in a general sense. John 13:35, and 1 John talks a whole lot about love. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love towards one another. Right? John 13:35. But particularly in this reference, he's talking about those that are among you, that labor among you, that are over you in the Lord. To esteem them. Very highly, he says, in love. Why? For their work's sake. We talked about the work this morning. And in light of the awesome responsibilities that elders have, it's our responsibility, our obligation, to esteem them very highly, not just highly, but very highly in love. Will that be said when elders are appointed again here? Will it be said of each one of the members here that we are esteeming them very highly in love for the work that they are undertaking to do? That's our obligation. That's our responsibility. To appreciate and to love, to admonish and to encourage them. But not only that. Number two, Hebrews chapter 13, we spent some time this morning looking at verse 7, or verse 17, but we're going to back up and look at verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, consider the end of their conversation. Verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. I want us to think about for just a moment about this obey and submit it to their rule. This is not a blind type of following. It's not a follower where you would say, well, we have to obey the elders regardless of what they say, whether it's right or whether it's wrong. And some may say, well, I don't know a situation where anyone would suggest that. Well, I can tell you from firsthand knowledge that I do know of a situation where that was the case. I preached at a congregation where the attitude was, if the elders tell the congregation to do something, they are to follow it. If it's wrong, they will give an account, but the membership must do what they say. That's not what the Scriptures teach. It's not a blind following. We are to obey them so long as what they are doing is right in the sight of the Lord. And our responsibility is to obey the decisions that they make, to submit to what they have decided. They have taken the oversight, they've made decisions, this is what is in the best interest of this local church, which is within the scope of the purview of their work. It's within the scope of what they're doing. And when they make those decisions, what are we to do? Submit to it. To do it. No, not every member may like that decision. Not every member may say, well, if it was me, I wouldn't have done. Well, maybe you would not have made that if it were you. But it's not you in those shoes. It's them in those shoes. And our responsibility is to say, I'll submit to that. I will obey them. We understand passages like Acts chapter 5, verse 29. We're to obey God rather than man. That's included. The elders or anyone else or the preacher or anyone else, you do what's right. You don't follow someone into a path or along the path of error. But we're to submit and to obey. Why? Look at that passage again. He tells why. Verse 17, the latter part of that. For they watch for your souls. We talked about that this morning. The watchfulness, the oversight, the overseeing, and so forth. That's their duty. They're making decisions as they are considering the flock over the which they are overseers. Acts 20 and verse 28. And again, when they decide something, we're to obey that, we're to submit to their oversight, to their rules. And not to have the disorderly attitude of saying, or thinking, I'm not going to do that. Regardless of what they say, I'm not going to walk by that decision. Yes, that's disorderly. You agree with that? That's our responsibility, is to obey and to submit to the rule. Number 3. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and then verse 19. All these are very simple, just like the things we looked at in the lesson this morning. Very simple to be understood. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before 2 or 3 witnesses. Don't receive an accusation against an elder except by 2 or 3. This idea of 2 or 3 is really rooted in some of the scriptures of the Old Testament. Remember some of the statements made in the Old Testament that was by 2 or 3 witnesses? It wasn't that just one person was to say, oh, guess what? Guess what I heard? Or this individual did X, Y, and Z, and therefore under the Old Testament law of Moses they were to be put to death. An individual is not to be put to death except it were by the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses. Why? That every word was to be established. In the New Testament, relative to the elders, receive not an accusation against one except it be by 2 or 3. That's a very serious matter for an individual to bring an accusation against an elder or against anyone else as far as that's concerned. And he's saying, let that be by 2 or 3 witnesses. Very simple. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and then verse 20. The next verse. Them that sin, rebuke before all, that others also may fear. Elders are not above sinning. They can be tempted just like anyone else can be tempted. Yes, they have wisdom. Yes, they have spiritual maturity. Yes, they have experience. Yes, they have a good working knowledge of the Bible. But they can be tempted just like anyone else can. They're human, not superhuman. But they're just like you and me. They hurt just like you and I do. They experience things just like you and I do. Statements that may be made that would hurt your feelings may very well hurt the feelings of elders. They're just like you and me. And sometimes we fail to realize that. We think sometimes that elders cannot sin. And if they do, then who am I to question that? Who am I to point that out? Well, the Bible says, reprove them if they sin. They're not exempt from that. The deacons are not exempt from that. The preacher is not exempt from that. The members are not exempt from that. Is it to be done with love? Absolutely. Is it to be done? Without a doubt. That's our responsibility, our obligation to do that. But not only that. Number 5, support them in their work. Verse 17 of 1 Timothy chapter 5, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in word and doctrine. I've had individuals ask me, is it scriptural for an elder to receive support, wages for what he does? And it is. You have the verse right here. Support them, not just monetarily, if they're given their time to do that. And it does take time. Ask some of these men that have served how much time that they've put into that. Time visiting, time studying, time exhorting, time dealing with various things. It takes time. Yes, that's a Bible principle. Especially, he says, those that labor in word and doctrine. And so, yes, that would be scriptural to do that. But there's a lot of other ways in which you can support an elder. What about encouraging words? What about by our prayers? You know, the Bible does teach us to pray for one another. Pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Pray for one another, James chapter 5 and in verse 16, when it says, confess your faults one to another, pray for one another. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. How many times do we think about lifting up elders in prayer? They need our prayers. And that's not to say that they need it when others don't. But again, elders are just like anyone else. They have an awesome responsibility that they have taken willingly, not by constraint. And they deserve and they need our prayers. Support them in the work by, again, ways of encouragement. You're doing a great job. I want to commend you for what you've been doing. Let me ask you this. When the local church had elders here, did you do that? You know, the saying is, hindsight's 20/20. But I want you to think about that. Did you do some of these things? Did you know them and esteem them very highly in love for the work's sake? Or did you just take for granted the work that they was doing? Work that you wasn't doing, that they were doing, that fell upon their shoulders. The fire that you was warming by, that you didn't start, that you wasn't keeping going, but they were. Did we do that? Obey and submit to the rule? Or did we gripe and complain? Why in the world do we have to go out at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning as opposed to later in the day? I'm not a morning person. And complain because the times of service was set the way they were? Why in the world are we having an evening service? We did that this morning. When the elders have decided that we need to have an evening service for a number of reasons, why on earth would we have two gospel meetings this year and do that? One is good enough. A lot of times we just complain and complain and complain and say, thank you, thank you, thank you. What about receiving an accusation against the elders? What about reproving them if they did wrong? What about supporting them in their work? Did we do that when we had elders? You might say, well, you know what? Now that you mention it, now that you point out, I guess I didn't do all of those things just the way that I should have done. Well, are you going to do that when the time comes that elders are appointed here? Make some notes. Maybe get these slides in. Make some notes beside them. I didn't do this as I should have. I'm going to do better. Next time I make me a note that I'm going to do this one better than I did. This is our responsibility to appreciate and to love the work that those men will do. And to be glad that you have the church organized the way that God said for it to be organized when many places are not that way. When we're currently not that way. And to be thankful. Maybe a card. Maybe a call. Maybe a pat on the back. A genuine. One of sincerity. You're doing a good job. I think the decision you made was the right decision. I commend you for making it. Whatever the case may be. Number 6. Call upon them. James chapter 5, indeed verse 14. Yes, I understand that the age of miracles has ceased. But I want to point out in that verse, James chapter 5 and in verse 14, as you turn there, to think about this. He says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Maybe you had a difficult time or a situation that's going on. Do you make use of the elders? Did you make use of them? Will you make use of them? I've been at several places that I can call to mind that the elders met at specific times for the purpose of praying for the flock over which they were sitting. I know that when we had elders here, I think maybe it was on Tuesdays that they met at some particular time, not sure right off, when the day was to take care of things that needed to be taken care of, provision or whatever the case may have been. Call upon them. They're a tool, they're a use, they're an asset to the local church. Solicit their prayers, solicit their wisdom, solicit their thoughts about it, solicit what they know the Scriptures say about the particular topic that you might be studying. That's an asset to have. You say, well, we don't have elders anymore. Well, that's right, we don't. But let me also suggest to you, right here, probably a good place to inject this into the sermon, the men who served as elders are still among us and still have the wisdom that they had. They still have the experience that they had. They still have the insight that they had. They still have the Bible knowledge that you see them exerting and the influence that they had. Still call upon them. I'm sure they're still willing to sit down and talk with you. I'm pretty safe in saying that, I believe. And talking with you about a particular Bible topic. When the day comes that you have elders again, make use of them. Don't take it for granted. But not only get to know them, but call upon them. And encourage them and let them encourage you. And number 7. May their serving, as we have hinted on, from Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 17, may their serving one of joy and not of grief. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Because you are not a bit of good. It's unprofitable, he says to you. Make it so that they can do it with joy and not with grief. Make it so that they are not dreading it and saying, I've done this now, I regret that I'm in this position because of the way that I'm being treated, the opposition that I'm faced with. And I understand we're going to be faced with opposition. Whether you're an elder, you're a deacon, you're a member, you're a preacher, there's going to be opposition. But let it never be the case that it could be said of you or that it could be said of me that I made their serving in this capacity with grief and not joyous. And so here's 7 things in the short time that we have spent together that is our responsibility toward the elders, to know and esteem them, to obey and submit to them, to not receive an accusation against them except to be by 2 or 3, to reprove them if they do wrong, to support them in the work, to call upon them, and to make their servant one of joy and not one of grief. I hope that it's been beneficial to you. We have one more lesson on the elders, and that will deal with the qualifications. We'll deal with that, Lord willing, next week. I do not anticipate that I'm going to answer every question that someone will have about every phrase that is found in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1, but we're going to deal with the qualifications of the elders. Let us work toward praying to be scripturally organized with elders and with deacons and every member being at peace with one another, and loving one another as we should, as we're striving together to go to heaven as a body of Christ and proclaiming the gospel in this community. I appreciate your good attention this evening. Maybe you're here and you've not obeyed the gospel of Christ. I told you this morning, you don't know if God is going to bless you with another opportunity. But our great compassionate God did that very thing. Gave you another opportunity to be here. And now you have to make the decision if you're going to obey. The best decision that you could make is to say that I want to serve the Lord. I want to become a Christian, a child of God, and serve Him for the rest of my earthly pilgrimage. This is how you do that. It's not changed from this morning. It won't change before next week. It won't change as long as the earth stands. When the Lord returns, that will still say the same thing. The Lord said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Matthew 24:35. And Peter talked about the gospel enduring forever. 1 Peter 1:25. You become a Christian by hearing the gospel, believing that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you believe that? Repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Christ as the Son of God, like the eunuch did in Acts 8:37, when he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then be baptized for the remission of your sins, to arise to walk in newness of life. Romans 6:1-6. Having been added to the church of Christ by the Lord. Acts 2:47. Like the eunuch, you can go on your way rejoicing, knowing that if today was the last day of your life, that heaven will be your eternal home. Maybe you have done that, but you've fallen away, turned your back on the Lord. Why not be restored by repentance and confession of your sin to God, and prayer will pray with you and for you? Why not come right now?